Hallelujah. You know, we're singing about God being faithful this morning, and it's so fitting to the message that I want to share. I think about our world, our society at large, and how there is a very distorted view of God, Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's ironic that the world blames God when things go wrong. Whether it's fires in LA or a tsunami in Asia, earthquakes, all the bad things, famines and evil across the world, people want to blame God. They say, how can God be love if he allows all these things to happen? We even have people in the church, so-called believers, who say that God is love, and because God is love, I can live how I want to live. I can sin and all will be forgiven. There are people who say that God doesn't exist at all. How could a God who's supposed to be love allow all these bad things to happen? So they excuse their behavior and say, I'll just live how I want to live. On the opposite end, when a man or when men accomplish things, often God is the last person that gets praise. He's the last person that gets thanks. He's the last person to get glory. This is a very distorted view of God. And it's not just the world that thinks this way. It's creeping into the church. It's creeping into the hearts and the minds of believers. And that's why you see so many Christians living like the world. We're allowing the world's mindset, the world's image of God, their thoughts of God seep into who we are as believers. This morning, I'm going to be coming from the book of Isaiah. One verse. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22. When I was preparing for the message, I always try to look into whatever book I'm coming from and try to learn a bit more about that author, that person, that book. The book of Isaiah, this was the first time I ever saw this, but it's kind of thought to be a symbol of the entire Bible itself. The Bible has 66 books. Isaiah has 66 chapters. The first 39 books of Isaiah focus on judgment, God's judgment against the people of Israel. And the last chapters, similar to the New Testament, focus on their salvation. Just like the Old Testament points to the cross, and the New Testament shows us the cross through Jesus and our salvation. So chapter 45 is on the salvation side of Isaiah, where he spends the first 39 chapters focusing on the judgment of Israel and how, yes, God loves his people, but all sin will and must be judged. Those last chapters, he focuses on salvation and points to the cross and Jesus Christ. This chapter 45, verse 22 says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. As I mentioned in the beginning, the world has a very distorted view of our God and who he is. Yes, God is love, but we know him to be equally wrath. Yes, God loves us, but he hates sin. A friend came to me a couple of weeks ago, and her daughter recently gave her heart to the Lord and she was baptized. And she said, how can we as Christians, why would a person want to be a Christian when we show so much hate? And the friend was explaining she didn't know how to respond to her daughter. You see, as believers, we live out our faith, and we should be a reflection of Christ. That does not mean that we compromise with the world. People in sin want to feel comfortable in that sin. So if the word of God speaks against it, it looks like hate, when it's really God just trying to show them love and show them who he is and let them know that, yes, I do love you, but I hate sin. And if you want to spend your eternity with me, you have to be willing to walk away from that sin. Look unto me. I just want to encourage you this morning that no matter what is going on around you, what you see in the world, what others may believe, God is telling us to look unto him. Just like he told the Israelites back then, to turn away from the idols, from the things of the world, from the things that they were putting their faith in, and to look to God to be saved. When we look to God, what does that mean? We understand and know that God alone is our source for salvation. The word of God tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. I looked up that word remission. It's used several different ways in the word. It means to pardon or to forgive. It also means freedom. It also means deliverance. So without Jesus shedding his blood on the cross, we could not be pardoned from our sin. We would not be forgiven. We would not have freedom that we have in the Lord. And we could not be delivered. You hear people say, I need to be delivered. Deliverance was done at the cross. When Jesus said, it is finished, your deliverance was won. Your freedom was won. We just have to walk in it. We just have to live in it. It's already done, saints. So if you're struggling this morning, our focus needs to be back on looking to God. Not ourselves, not our flesh, not the things that we want, but to God. If our focus is on our source, David said, I will look to the hills. That's where my help comes from. Not from myself, not from my money, not from my friends, not from my family. My source is Christ. Him and him alone. If my faith is placed in anything else, it will falter. It will not stand. We must look to God this morning for our salvation. In him and him alone. He is our source. If people aren't looking to God, what are they looking to? They're looking to themselves, their own power, their own strengths, their own talents, their own careers, their money, their family. God plainly tells us not to put our trust in man. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 through 8, thus said the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see good when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabit it. Blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The Lord tells us not to trust in our riches. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall. Why do we put so much faith in ourselves? I failed myself more times than I can even count. And I can count more times when other people have failed me. This is why the Lord tells us not to look to man. I love and respect our pastor, our leaders in the church, but we're not to look to man. We're to look to God. It's great that we have a ministry where the word of God comes from this stage. But I was always taught to get in the word of God for myself, so that when I hear error, I know it. Thank God it doesn't come from here. But there's so many ministers that are teaching untruth. They're not teaching God's word. But if you're not in it for yourself, you won't know that. Don't look to man. Don't look to your money. There are people getting fired and laid off. I've been on a new job for the past 3 months, but my last job, I was facing termination twice. And I had been at that company for almost 10 years. Nothing in this world, we can't put our faith and trust in anything like we do the Lord. We could wake up tomorrow and this whole economy is shot. Every dime that you have in the bank, gone. And if your faith and your trust is in your job, your career, your money, man, yourself, you're not going to make it. None of us know what we're about to face. None of us. We know we're in the last days. We have an idea of what's coming because of what God's word tells us. But we can't predict the future. But our God knows all things. If your trust is in him, if you're looking to him for your future, for your present, you can trust God. Even when you can't trust yourself, you can trust him. So I'm encouraging you this morning to look to God, not to look to man, not to look to money, to things. Those are temporal. Let's put our faith in something eternal, and that's the Lord. When we look to God, if we're looking to God, it requires us to be intentional. If I'm walking this way, I'm looking this way. I'm not looking this way and walking this way. Does that make sense? So it's impossible for you to look to God and walk towards him and focus on everything around you. Let's remember Peter walking on the water. As long as he kept his eyes on the Lord, as long as he kept his focus on Jesus, Jesus told him to come. And he stepped out on the water in faith, and he did the impossible walking on the water. But then he became distracted, and his eyes moved from the Lord into all the stuff around him, all the distractions. What are your distractions this morning? What are you allowing to keep you from focusing on your Savior, from focusing on the Word, from focusing on your walk with the Lord? We all have to work. If you have bills to pay, you have to take care of your families, your children. But what are your priorities? What are you being intentional about? Think about it. What are you putting your total faith in? It's nothing wrong with having a career, going to school, having a job, taking care of your family. We have responsibilities. But if you truly want to look to God, you need to be intentional. I'm not just talking to you. God, speak these messages to me first. I need to be intentional about my relationship with the Lord. I need to make time to get in my word. If that means getting up earlier before I start my day, let's do that. Let's be intentional about being faithful to our church attendance. Let's be intentional about just living our lives in the will of God each and every day. Yesterday in the women's ministry, one of the women said she wakes up in the morning and asks God, what is your will for my life today? How often do we do that? Or do we just have our checklist of things that we want to do? Be intentional. When we are intentional, Jeremiah 29:13 says, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Jesus tells us to seek him first, and all these things will be added unto us. So often we focus on everything else more than God. I've been guilty of it too. It's time for us to refocus. God is calling us back. When I read the scripture, I was studying something else in God's word, and it just stood out to me. Look unto God. Look unto me and be saved. Look unto me. The enemy is trying to take us off like he did Peter. He's trying to distract us with all this stuff on the news and all these things that are being said. It's meant to be a distraction. It's meant to keep us from spreading the gospel and telling people about the Lord. This is the prime time to do that. So many people are lost right now looking for answers. And we have the answer. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. We know the gospel. If you see somebody about to drive off of a cliff that you love and care about, even my worst enemy, I don't want to see him die and live in eternal hell, separated from the Lord. We have an opportunity right now, as long as you have breath in your body, to tell somebody about the Lord. That's why we're here. If God tells us to look to him and we walk in disobedience and we don't do that, we can't be saved. You remember in Numbers, I'm going to read Numbers chapter 21. I'm going to read verse 8 and 9. You know, the people of Israel, they angered God and he released serpents upon them. And they came to Moses and, you know, wanted relief. And in verse 8 it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." If God tells us to look to him and be saved, and we decide we want to do something different, we're lost with the rest of the world. In this scripture, and in that time, I'm sure that there were people who heard what Moses said and they doubted. And why would I look to a pole? Why would I look to that? And they probably died. They died. Because only those who were obedient to what God said lived. So there's a blessing in obedience. If God tells us to look to him for salvation and we look to other things, we may find ourselves along with the rest of the world. See, whether you claim to be saved or not, if you're not living that truth, it matters not what you say. It matters not just showing up at church. God knows what's in your heart. God knows and sees what others do not. He knows where your faith lies. So it's not about what we show on the outside. It's what God knows to be in our heart. Do you have a true heart of surrender this morning? A true heart of obedience to the Lord? Or is it lip service? We have to be sincere and intentional with our relationship with the Lord. It's time out for games. It's time out for one foot in the world, one foot in the church. It's time to get serious about our relationship with God. He's been serious since day one. "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." Who is this scripture for? All the ends of the earth. This is an open invitation. An open invitation. Every man, woman, child. This is for them. This scripture is for them. Every person in the world. No matter what you think of yourself, no matter what others think of you, this is for those who choose to surrender their life to the Lord. God came so that we could be saved. We know the enemy wishes to destroy our souls. But he came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Looking to him, we can be saved. Who? All the ends of the earth. 1 John 4:9 says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only son, his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins." God loves us. Yes. We need to share that message. Maybe you're not able to share that message because you haven't truly received it yourself. Maybe you can't be a witness to the world because you're not walking the path that you need to be walking as a believer. It's time for all of us to do a reality check. Are you looking to God this morning for your deliverance, for your freedom, for your forgiveness, for your salvation? Or are you looking to other things? If we're looking to the Lord this morning, if we're truly looking to Him for our deliverance, then we can be that light to the world around us. We can tell them about the Lord and they can see that there's something different in our lives, something that we need to share. You should want to share the gospel with someone else. If we're looking to God for guidance, for direction, for truth, if your heart is for souls, God will put people in your path that you can tell about Him, about who He is, about His word. It's time for us to wake up, church. It's time for us to be the disciples that God has called us to be so that we can bring others into the fold. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in heaven by myself. I don't want to be with the Lord by myself. I want to bring others with me. Hallelujah. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. There is none else. He is God all by himself. I think it's interesting how, you know, if we have a broken pipe at the house, we call a plumber because we know that's the person to go to for that. If I have an issue with my car, I'm taking my car to a mechanic to get it fixed. If I start having health issues, I pray for healing, but, you know, God has put medical providers here, so I go to a doctor for help. We know the source of salvation. But we choose to go to everything else but God. We have more faith in the plumber and the electrician and the mechanic and the medical doctor than we do the man who can heal even when the doctor says there's nothing else that they can do. Our God is all powerful. And if He lives in us, the word of God says, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. I'm encouraging you this morning to look to God. Not just because it's in Isaiah, but I know God to be all powerful. God is our rock. He is the only one that can save us. He is the only source. God's word said, none beside him in all the earth, above and below. Our God, He is more powerful than anything that Satan can do. Anything. He is our rock. He is our strong tower that we can run into and be safe. If we are standing in the full armor of God, we can block all the fiery darts of Satan. We must realize that we are wrestling not against flesh and blood, against rulers of the darkness in high places, against principalities, all these demonic forces. We cannot fight those things, only in the Lord. We've got to get His word in us to strengthen ourselves. Spend that time in prayer. We need it. Looking unto God. If you're looking unto Him, it requires action. You see, I'm looking this way, I'm walking this way, I'm looking at this. I'm not focusing all the stuff around me, at all the things around me. I'm focusing on the Lord. I'm focusing on His word. I'm nothing. But in God, I can be what He needs me to be. It's no longer about me. Paul said, no longer I that lives, but it's God that lives. if we're looking to God, we can see that clearly. It's not about us. It's no longer about what I want, what I need. It's what God needs from me. What are you looking to this morning? What is your faith in this morning? What are you prioritizing this morning? Is it your relationship with God, or is it something else? If it's something else, I'm encouraging you with everything that I have in me this morning to turn your heart, to turn your mind, to turn your focus back to the Lord. Look unto him and be saved. Look unto him and be free. Look unto him and be forgiven. Look unto him and be delivered this morning. For you and everyone that you know, this message is for. Why? Because there is none else. There is none else. I'm going to pray before I close. Lord, we love you this morning. God, we need you, Father. Some of us, including myself, have allowed the enemy to distract us at times and keep our focus off of you, God. Through this message this morning, you're reminding us, Lord, to return our hearts and our focus back to you. Lord, we cannot do that on our own. We need your help, Father. We need you, Lord, like never before, to strengthen us, Lord God, for what's coming. Remind us, God, of your word. Remind us of spending time with you. We need it each and every day. Help us, God, to turn our heart, to turn our lives back to you, Lord, not to be distracted by things in this world, things the enemy may try to use to keep us from you. Help us, Lord God, to focus on you and you alone, God, so that we can be saved, so that we can be delivered, God, so that we can be pardoned and forgiven of our sin and spend an eternity with you, Lord. We thank you in advance for it, Lord. We thank you, Father.
Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you because there's never a wrong time to look towards you. Father, we thank you. We give you all the praise. We thank you for this message, Lord. Help us to truly be a people that are hearers and doers, Lord. Father, we love you. Amen. Amen. That was an on-time message because it is never a wrong time to look towards God. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. A couple of quick announcements. If you haven't given, as you guys know, we always need your support. So please feel free to do as you are led. And also, one of our members and brothers went home to be with the Lord this past week, Brother Philip Pascal. So his funeral will be this Thursday at 10 a.m. and it will be here. So please come out, show your love, and just come out and be led as you do so. That is once again February 13th, this Thursday at 10 a.m. at Christ Unveiled. And also this Wednesday, we don't have Bible study, but we have Laity to Laity. That is at Wednesday at 7 p.m. So once again, no Bible study, but we do have a special service this Wednesday at 7 p.m. And the following Wednesday, we're going to start in the book of 2 Corinthians. So the following Wednesday, that will be when we pick up our Bible study. Amen. Well, let me go ahead and just close us up with a word of prayer and dismiss us. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for your word. We thank you because we have a helper that is always there. Father, help us to look towards you at all times on all things, Lord. Help us not to trust the strength of man. Help us not to trust ourselves. Help us not to trust the flesh, but help us to trust you, the life-giving Spirit, who is always with us, guiding us and showing us what and where to go. Father, we love you, we honor you, and we give you all the praise and all the glory. In the mighty, precious name of Christ, we pray. Amen.